the highest, peace and goodwill to men. Come see the child in the manger, the baby in Bethlehem.
Joy to the world,
joy to the world, the hills and the mountains sing. Joy to the world, come bow before your King. Glory to God in the highest, peace and goodwill to men. Come see the child in the manger, the baby in Bethlehem. Unto us a son is given.
For unto us a child is born.
And the government shall be upon his shoulders. His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, the Prince of Peace. Joy to the world, oh let the music ring. Joy to the world, oh lift up your voice and sing. Glory to God in the highest, peace and goodwill to men. Come see the child in the manger, the baby in Bethlehem. To the world a son is given. Joy to the world a child is born. Joy to the world.
Testing. We good? All right. Good morning. Good to see you all. Good to be back here again with you all, and appreciate your church. Appreciate the impact that you've had on your community through the years, and appreciate your preacher. I sure love him. I hate that he's not here this morning, and just pray maybe he'll be good enough to come in tonight. We'll see, and only the Lord knows that. Amen. And but it is good to be here. My wife, Terry, why don't you stand up, if you would, real quick. My wife, Terry, thank the Lord for this last, it's going on 5 years now. We've been able to travel together all the time now, and well, the kids grown up and everything. And I said during the Sunday school hour, a lot of things have changed in the Martin family this year, a lot of different changes going on. Our oldest daughter, Christina, got married in October, and she's living down in Holland, Michigan. And then we are in the process of a move ourselves right now. And we're moving from Gaylord, Michigan to Lawrence, Kansas to be under the ministry of Brother Scott Hanks and there. And it's a big step at my age especially, amen. And we really feel like it's what the Lord wants. It's going to help us to consolidate some things a little more centrally located. Going from the North Pole to anywhere is hard. So hopefully it'll help me as we get a little older here, and Lord, give us a little more longevity. But we covet your prayers for all that, and it's good to see y'all. We have book tables set up with a bunch of Bibles back there, and do have some journals where you journal through the Bible also out there if you're interested, and we'll be back there afterwards. Well, grab your Bible, if you would, and turn to John chapter number 9. John chapter 9. As you're turning there, let me just ask you a question. Can you and I even fathom what it must have been like to live in the days that Jesus Christ walked upon the earth? And I think about that so many times, and I think about what it would have been like to be able to see Jesus. And really, this is, this season, of course, this is what it's all about. We're thinking about the Savior. We're thinking about His human existence when He came here, and when He came to this earth and what He did for us and what He did for mankind. But just to think of the thought of being able to be here when He was walking on this earth, man, that's a powerful thought. When I was in Israel a number of years ago, one of our guides said that it is believed that one out of every 8 to 10 people living in and around Capernaum and Galilee had contact with the Savior. Can you fathom that? One out of every 8 to 10 people. And then you think about when the end came, there was hardly nobody there for Him. But the truth of the matter is, one thing about it, you can bank on it, when Jesus came through or when Jesus passed by, something was about to happen. And that's really the thought of this message this morning. And it's about the Christmas. It's about Christ. And so I want to focus on Him this morning. And this little thought in John chapter 9, the very first few words here says this, "And as Jesus passed by." I want to preach for just a few moments this morning on this thought, what happens when Jesus passes by. What happens when Jesus passes by? Let's bow for a word of prayer. Father, I thank You again for the privilege to be able to be here today. And Lord, I pray that You would speak to hearts. Lord, I know that there's no visitors here this morning, but God, You knew who would be here. And You know the needs of each and every heart and each and every person that sits here this morning. And Father, I pray that You'd take this message and encourage those that need encouraging. Lord, I pray that You'd strengthen those that need strengthened. I pray that You'd challenge those that need challenged in their life. And Lord, help us to take a real good look about what happened when Jesus passed through in this passage of Scripture. And I pray that if there's somebody here today that even though they're not a visitor, they've never really truly been born again, God, I pray that today might be that day. Lord, would You do the work only You can do, and we'll be careful to give You the glory. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. You know, as I was thinking about this and as I was putting these thoughts together, I was thinking about there's a couple songs that have been written about this simple thought, about when Jesus passes by. Some of you might remember the words. I won't try to sing them, but I'll read them to you. How about this one? It goes, "A cripple starts walking, a blind man can see. The leper is cleansed and the captive's been set free. A woman rejoices, her son did not die. All these things happened when Jesus passed by." When Jesus passed by, when Jesus passed by, gone were all the heartaches, the troubles and strife. Just reach out and touch Him and He'll hear your cry. And you'll know something happened when Jesus passed by. Amen. I'm telling you what, when Jesus passes by, something's about to happen. Amen. There's another song that the group up from the Faithman Quartet from up in Wisconsin, they sing and it says, "Like a blind man I wandered, so lost and undone. A beggar so helpless without God and His Son. Then my Savior in mercy heard and answered my cry. And oh, what a difference since Jesus passed by." Man, ain't that the truth? Man, what a difference it is when Jesus passes by. You know, the truth of the matter is, that's really what needs to happen in all of our lives today. We just need to have Jesus pass by. That's what we need. And the truth of the matter is also that God tells us that where two or three are gathered together, there I am in the midst of them also. Amen. So you can bank on it today that He's here today. Amen. And He wants to pass by today. Amen. He wants to help some people today. If you're prepared, if you're looking for Him, hey, if you just reach out and touch Him. Let's just take a look at the passage of Scripture here and see what happened when Jesus passed by. It says in John chapter 9 and verse 1, "And as Jesus passed by, He saw a man which was blind from his birth. And His disciples asked Him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" That seems like a kind of a strange question. Who did sin, this man, or that he was born blind? But I'm sure what they were talking about was that born with the sin in your life, is this part of what happened to him, part of what was given to him? But notice what Jesus said. Jesus answered, "Neither hath this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. I must work the works of Him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." All right, here's the first thing I see that happened when Jesus passed by, number one, and what happens today when Jesus passed by, someone is going to learn something. Amen. Somebody's going to be taught something. You say, what do you mean? Well, the disciples here, they thought they had this thing down. The reason this guy's blind is because of his sin or because of his parents' sin. So Jesus, tell us which one is it. And Jesus said, wait a minute, it's not because he sinned, it's not because his parents sinned, it's simply because, as he said here, that God should be made manifest in him. What are you saying? Hey, it was just for God's glory. That's why it happened. That's the reason it took place. I think we better be very careful about what we think sometimes about situations that happen. You say, what do you mean? Oh, we're always good at judging people in situations about, well, this has probably happened to them because of that or because of this or because of that. Hey, no, wait a minute. Jesus said, wait a minute. This is all about God getting some glory. Sin is not the cause of everything that we view as negative in this life. Amen. I mean, we'll look at something that happens negative to somebody. Oh, there must be something wrong in their life. They must be sinning. It must be, oh, wait a minute. What about that? Just God wants to get some glory out of somebody's life? Amen. They were, when Jesus passed by, some people were about to learn something. I think about the story of Martha and Mary over there in Luke chapter 10. And when Jesus passed by that way and passed by their house and they invited him in. And boy, Martha was careful about her service and everything, making sure everything was just right. It said that Mary just sat there at Jesus' feet and heard his words. And then Martha came to the Lord and said, don't care so not that my sister have left me to serve alone. Bitter therefore that she helped me. And he said, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful. And Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. You know what? Somebody learned something that day. What do you mean? That the service is not the most important thing. There's times we just need to sit and listen to Jesus and hear what he has to say to us. Amen. What are you saying, Brother Martin? I'm saying, hey, when Jesus passed by, someone's about to learn something. I think about when Jesus took his disciples into the Garden of Gethsemane. Time and time again, he took them to the Garden of Gethsemane. It says in John chapter 18 that he at oft times he resorted thither. That's where he went to many times with his disciples. Why? Because he was going to teach them something. The truth of the matter is, when Jesus passes by, it's one reason is because he's trying to teach somebody something. Let me ask you a question. When's the last time Jesus passed by you in your Bible reading? What do you mean by that, Brother Martin? Hey, man, when you open this precious book, these are the words of life. This book is a living, breathing book. Amen. And when if we're in our devotion time the way we ought to be, and if we're in this book the way we ought to be, and our heart's right with God the way we ought to, Jesus is going to pass by. Amen. And he's going to speak to us, and he's going to teach us. When's the last time you were reading, and God spoke to you, and spoke to you in your heart, and you knew that the Lord was challenging you about something you needed to change in your life? Hey, what about when you were reading through it, and you saw something, and you said, man, I'm doing that, and the Lord spoke to your heart and said, I'm pleased with you, and man, a tear dripped down the side of your face, and you're excited about the Lord speaking to you, because Jesus passed by that day. When's the last time that happened in your life and mine? I think for far too many of us, it's been a while. It ought not be that way. Why? Because Jesus wants to pass by. He wants to teach us. He wants to help us. Hey, when's the last time Jesus passed by in your prayer life? Amen. I mean, spoke to you, and you know that the Lord was speaking to you about something because he was passing by. I think back. There's so many things that I think about. I think about Michael's daddy. Situation happened a number of years ago. We were traveling down to pick up a vehicle for my oldest daughter, and I crested the hill coming into Indiana from Michigan, and there was a deer in the road, and I hit that deer, and I mean, just almost totaled the car out, caved the whole front end up, and everything, and we I'm not going to tell the whole story, but we crippled our way into where we were going to pick a vehicle up, and the next morning, I got up and there was a text. There was a text from Brother Bragg, and he said, hey, Brother Dan, I just want to let you know I've been praying for you. I don't know what's going on in your life, but a couple of days ago, God put you on my heart, and I just began to pray intently for you in the last couple of days. I just want to let you know I've been praying for you. Man, I'm telling you what. I sat there and thought about what happened and what was going to happen. You know what happened in Brother Bragg's prayer life? Jesus passed by. He said, there's somebody you need to pray for. Why don't you lift them up? Why don't you? Hey, when's the last time Jesus passed by in your prayer life? Amen. Mine too. When's the last time? When Jesus passes by, somebody's going to learn something. Amen. Boy, we ought to be begging Him today. Lord, pass by my way. Pass by my way. Man, teach me something today. Amen. Second thing we see here in this passage of Scripture, notice what it says in verse number, we read through verse 5, verse 6. It says, when He had thus spoken, He spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle, and He anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay, and said unto him, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sent. He went His way, therefore, and washed, and came seeing. Man, what a powerful thought here. What a powerful... Jesus reaches down. He picks up some clay from the ground. He spits in it. He works it up. He puts it in His eyes. And He says, now all I want you to do is go down to the pool of Siloam, the public washing spot, and go down there and wash in that public washing spot, and something great's going to happen. Can you imagine what that blind man might have thought at that point in time? Why would I go down to the public pool and clean up or wash up? But he did. And he came seeing. Amen. What are you saying? The second thing I see when Jesus passes by is someone's going to get helped. Or someone's going to get healed. Amen. What do you mean? Hey, that's what we need. Every one of us in our lives, we need Him to pass by on a continual basis. Because whenever Jesus passes by, somebody's getting helped. Somebody's going to get healed. Amen. The truth of the matter is there's people. I wonder how many people that the Lord is looking to heal and we just don't have faith to trust and believe. I think of the faith of the four, the man that was born by the four that came and pulled the roof off the house and let him down in front of Jesus. They had enough faith. Man, maybe that guy didn't even have enough faith as himself, but his friends had enough faith to believe if they could just get him to Jesus that he would be healed. Let me tell you something. When Jesus passes by, there's opportunity for healing. There's opportunity for people to get some help. Where are you at here today? You need some healing today? I'm not no faith healer. No such thing in the Bible. There was only one. His name was Jesus. Amen. No such thing as faith healers. I'm not going to slap anybody in the head and knock you over and tell you you're healed. That doesn't work. But having enough faith and confidence in Him and that He can pass by does work. Amen. And I'm not here to say that it always happens. We have to trust what God brings to us and what God allows in our life. But I believe God wants to heal so much more than what He does heal, if we just have enough faith to believe Him and trust Him. Someone, when Jesus passes by, someone's going to get healed or someone's going to get some help. Where are you at today? Do you just need some help in your life? You need Jesus to pass by. That's what you need. You need some help in your financial life? You say, yeah, I need more than that. I need $1 million. No, you don't. You need the one who owns the cattle on 1,000 hills to pass by. That's what you need today. You need Him to stop by in your life and let you know that He's still there and He's still God and He can help you. Amen. You having some problems in your family today? He can heal that too. Amen. If we just turn to Him, if we just bow before Him, if we just trust Him, He can change everything. Amen. What are you saying today, Brother Martin? I'm just saying, when Jesus passed by, somebody's going to get help. Somebody's going to get healed. Amen. I was thinking about the story of Jairus' daughter. And just flip back, if you would, to Matthew chapter 9. Hold your place and flip back to Matthew chapter 9. We'll read a few verses here. And over in Mark, the account of this, it actually uses the words and says, and when Jesus passed by that way. But in Matthew chapter 9, we pick up the story here. And notice what it says beginning in verse number 18. Matthew chapter 9 and verse 18. While he spake these things unto them, behold, there came a certain ruler and worshipped him, saying, my daughter is even now dead, but come and lay thy hand upon her, and she shall live. And Jesus arose and followed him, and so did his disciples. And behold, a woman which was diseased with an issue of blood 12 years came behind him and touched the hem of his garment. For she said within herself, if I may but touch his garment, I shall be whole. But when Jesus turned him about and when he saw her, he said, daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. And the woman was made whole from that hour. Can you just picture that situation today? I mean, as Jesus is going to Jairus' house, and that girl, that lady that had been traumatized by this issue of blood in her life and what was going on, and just believing in her heart, if I can just touch him, he's passing by, if I can just touch him, I can be healed. And he turned to her and said, thy faith hath made thee whole. What are you saying? Hey, just enough faith to trust and believe in who he is and what he can do. Amen. And he goes on to say this. He says, and when Jesus came into the ruler's house and saw the minstrels and the people making noise, he said unto them, give place, for the maid's not dead, but sleepeth. And they laughed him to scorn. But when the people were put forth, those that didn't believe. He sent them out. He went in and took her by the hand, and the maid arose, and the fame hereof went abroad into all that land. And just think about that. Jesus, hey, that's all he did while he was here. He just went about doing good. He went about healing people. He went about helping people. He went about trying to set an example for every one of us. And let me tell you something. Though he's seated at the right hand of the Father today, he's still trying to pass by and help people and heal people if we just look to him and trust him and believe him. Amen. I was thinking about a situation that just happened this year at our church back home. A young man who was on our tour group for our college, sang on our tour group, and fine young man, very humble, spirited young man. Married a gal that he met up at the college there, and she's the preacher's secretary right now, and he's just working for one of the guys in the church. And on a Wednesday night, he was going between some jobs, checking some jobs out, and the guy's a painter, and giving some estimates and things, and he was trying to hurry a little bit because he wanted to make it back in time for church. And he was driving down a dirt road, took a shortcut down a dirt road, and was traveling way too fast. And the shoulder of both sides of the road was really soft. And when he was driving along, he hit that shoulder, and it jerked him off the road. And literally, he went off the road, and he sideswiped two or three trees, and then the car went airborne. And when it went airborne, if you can only imagine, he hit the trees like this, it went airborne, and when it went airborne through the air like this, the car turned. And when the car turned, it hit a tree right on the roof of the car and wrapped the car around the tree right where his head was. The fire department got there, and of course, being an ex-fireman, I know that, you know, the main thing is trying to get to the individual and try to ensure they have an airway and trying to, as quick as you can. There's no way they could get into him. It took them 45 minutes to pry the car off the tree and to cut the whole top off to be able to get into him. But when they cut it open and they got to him, they could see he was still breathing. And so they called for a med flight, and they med flighted him to the hospital. He had his seatbelt on too, by the way. They med-flighted him to the hospital. They took him in. They ran scans over him. And he had no broken bones at all. Could find nothing broken. But he had severe head trauma from the impact where the tree hit right on the roof above him. His brain was swelling and different things were going on. They monitored him. He started to come out of this comatose state that he was in, but he was really agitated, and so they induced him back into it again, tried to relieve some of the pressure on his brain. About 3 or 4 days later, they tried to bring him out of that coma again, and the induced coma, and when they did, he began to vomit profusely, another indicator of severe brain trauma. They induced him back into the coma again. About 3 or 4 days later, they tried to draw him back out of the coma again. And this time, he opened his eyes. He was looking around. They asked him a couple questions, if he could squeeze and wiggle his feet and things like that, and he did. And they asked him another question, and he gave him a thumbs up. Well, all that to tell you this, today he's back in church. He's our song director and our song leader in our church. And he gave a testimony on the Wednesday before Thanksgiving or Tuesday before Thanksgiving. And he said, every year I try to stop and thank God for certain things in my life that have happened throughout the year. And he said, this year's pretty easy. He said, from what everybody tells me, I guess I shouldn't be here today. But he said, I'm so thankful that I'm here today. I'll tell you why he's here today. Because Jesus passed by. That's why. That's the only reason. You saw, if you could say, I wish I had a picture I could show you that vehicle. You'd say, there's no way anybody lived through that. Impossible. But Jesus passed by. What are you saying? Hey, that's all we need today. That's what we need. We need him to pass by. He can heal. He can help. Hey, he can teach us what we need to learn. Amen. And then the third thing I see from this little story here, notice what it says here in John chapter 9 again, verse number 8. The neighbors therefore, and they which had they which before had seen him, that he was blind, said, is not this he that sat and begged? Some said, this is he. Others said, he is like him. But he said, I am he. Therefore said they unto him, how were thine eyes open? He answered and said a man that is called Jesus, made clay and anointed mine eyes and said unto me, go to the pool of Siloam and wash. And I went and washed and I received sight. When they said, then said they unto him, where is he? He said, I know not. Hey, you know what? The next thing I see that happened when Jesus passed by is that he got some glory for it. Amen. And the truth of the matter is, he needs to be getting more glory for what he's doing in our life every day. He passes by every day. He does things in our life every day. He's so good to every one of us that sit here today, we ought to be praising his name continually. That's what ought to be happening as he passes by every day. But it's just as soon as he started praising him, you notice that when Jesus passes by and he gets some glory, there's some other people that don't like it. They get mad. They get upset. Notice this next little portion. It says in verse 13, then brought to the Pharisees, they brought to the Pharisees him that aforetime was blind. Uh-oh. And it was the Sabbath day. Oh, no. When Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes. Then again, the Pharisees also asked him how he had received his sight. He said unto them, he put clay upon mine eyes and I washed and I do see. That's pretty simple. Therefore said some of the Pharisees, this man is not of God, because he keepeth not the Sabbath day. Others said, how can a man that is a sinner do such miracles? And there was a division among them. They say unto the blind man, again, that's the third time they've asked him, what sayest thou of him, that he hath opened thine eyes? He said, he's a prophet. But the Jews did not believe concerning him that he had been blind and received his sight, until they called the parents of him that had received his sight. And they asked them, saying, is this your son, whom you say was born blind? How then doth he now see? His parents answered him and said, we know that this is our son, and that he was born blind, but by what means he now seeth, we know not. Or who hath opened his eyes, we know not. He is of age, ask him. He shall speak for himself. These words spake his parents, because they feared the Jews, for the Jews had agreed already that if any man did confess that he was Christ, he should be put out of the synagogue. Therefore said his parents, he is of age, ask him. Then again called they the man that was blind, and said unto him, give God the praise. We know that this man is a sinner. I love this verse. He answered and said, whether he be a sinner or no, I know not. But one thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see. He said, you call him whatever you want to, but I want to tell you what. This guy's something. He's got something. Amen. It says, and then said they to him again, what did he to thee? How opened he thine eyes? Man, are you dense or what? Don't you get this? He answered them, I have told you already, and you did not hear. Wherefore would you hear it again? Will ye also be his disciples? Wrong thing to say to them Pharisees, amen. And said, then they reviled him and said, thou art his disciple, but we are Moses' disciples. We know that God spake unto Moses. As for this fellow, we know not from whence he is. The man answered and said unto them, why herein is a marvelous thing that ye know not from whence he is, and yet he hath opened mine eyes. How is this? You don't even know who this guy is, man. This is a marvelous thing. I mean, he's opened up my eyes and you don't know. You're the Pharisees. You're supposed to know everything. He's preaching to them. Amen. And it says this. Now, we know that God heareth not sinners, but if any man be a worshiper of God and doeth his will, him he heareth. Since the world began, is it not heard that any man opened the eyes of one that was born blind? If this man were not of God, he could do nothing. And they answered and said unto him, thou wast altogether born in sins, and dost thou teach us? And they cast him out. Isn't that interesting? They accused him of being what Jesus said he wasn't. This man was born in sins. Now, wait a minute. It wasn't the sin that caused this to happen in his life. It wasn't that which happened. No, God was looking to get some glory out of it. But this little thought here about when he passes by, he's looking to get some glory, and there's some people going to be upset. Man, we're in a situation today in our nation where God's people better start speaking up again. God's people better begin to be a vocal voice again while we have an opportunity to do it. God may have opened up a window of opportunity for us in what's happened over this past month or so. It may be a window of opportunity where we have a greater privilege to live the way that we're supposed to live than we've ever had before. It doesn't matter what the world says. It should never matter what the world says. No matter how bad they try to stand against him, we ought to stand up and praise his name and give him the glory that he alone deserves. And then we see the last thing here, and this is really what the story is all about. It says in verse number 35, Jesus heard that they had cast him out, and when he had found him, he said unto him, dost thou believe on the Son of God? He answered and said, who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him? Jesus said unto him, thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talketh with thee. And he said, Lord, I believe. And he worshipped him. It's the next thing I see that happened when Jesus passed by, somebody's going to get saved. Amen. somebody's going to get saved when Jesus passed by. We know from John chapter 6 that it takes the Father drawing someone to Him. Hey, the Holy Spirit of God speaking, hey, Jesus working as He passes by. Somebody was going to get saved. Amen. I don't know if you're born again today or not. Only you and God know that. There may not be a visitor here, but that doesn't matter. I've preached in many churches where church members have gotten saved. Where people that have professed to be saved all their life ended up getting saved. Where bus directors got saved. Where choir directors got saved. Where nursery superintendents got saved. Where I preached in a lot of churches like that. Why? Because when Jesus passes by and you really get convicted, you really understand what salvation is about. I was in a church in Texas preaching here, been a number of years ago, 11 years ago, I think it was. Starting a revival on Sunday morning. A guy comes in the back door just as I started preaching and sat on the back row. Man, he was from head to toe, he was black. And he had biker leathers on. Man, he had a beard down to here. He had hair down to here. His beard went right up into his face. I couldn't tell if he was a white man or black man. I mean, he was just covered black. He comes in, he sits down. I preached that morning. I'm preaching a salvation message. I get to the end and I give the invitation. I ask if there's somebody that does not know if they're on their way to heaven. And he raises his hand right away. And I give the invitation. I say, after I dealt with some other things, and I said, if you're not sure, you need to come right now so we can deal with you. And that guy stands up and he starts walking down the aisle. Man, he's a big old boy. He's about 6'3", 6'4". He comes walking down the aisle. As he's coming down the aisle, I can see he's shaking. He's just shaking. And as he gets closer, I can see tears coming off his beard and falling down. And he comes up here and he collapses on the platform right here. I mean, on the stairs of the altar. I mean, just fell flat on there. And he's just sobbing and crying. And I turned the service over to the preacher and I came down and put my arm around him. I said, hey, brother. I said, what's going on? And he's just crying so hard. I mean, sobbing. I mean, tears are just flowing. And I said, what's your name? And he finally choked the word out. Lee. And I said, Lee, I said, what's going on, brother? I said, do you know for sure you're on your way to heaven? And he started shaking his head, no. He said, I thought I did. He said, but there's no way I could be. I said, has anybody talked to you about being saved or born again? He says, yeah, I did that when I was younger, but there's no way, not the way I'm living, not my life, not. And I said, well, I talked to him a little bit more, and I said, do you know what it means to be saved? Yeah, I know what it means. I grew up in church, but I've been so far away from it, and so I dealt with him a little bit more, and he bowed his head and he trusted Christ as his Savior. Hey, this is one of them times you talk about snot-slinging time. Amen. There was a puddle. He had to get up and go clean up before he even came out to shake hands with people. And he come back there, and he's shaking hands with people, and he come to the door to leave. And I said, Lee, did you mean business with God today? And he goes, yes, I did. And I said, well, if you did, you'll be back tonight. He said, I promise you, I'll be back tonight. He came back that night. He brought his wife and his two children. One of his children got saved that night. He came back on Monday night. He came back on Tuesday night. He came back on Wednesday night. On Wednesday night, his other child got saved. His wife didn't come on Wednesday night. On Thursday, the meeting ended on Wednesday. I told the preacher, I said, we need to go by and visit that Lee, and Laura was his wife's name. We need to go visit Lee and Laura, and we need to, you know, just try to encourage him a little bit. And we had been praying for him. Lee had asked us to pray for a job. He'd been out of work for over a year. He'd tried to get work everywhere, couldn't get work. And so we went by. I said, yeah. He said, that'd be great. Let's just do it. We went by his house, and the first time we went by, he wasn't there. His son said, well, man, I know Dad wants to see you. Why don't you come back? I said, okay, we'll come back after we get done making some other visits. So we made some other visits, knocked some doors. We came back, and it was dark. And this time we passed by the house on accident. And when we did, Lee was there. Well, his son told him we'd pass by, so he was looking for us. And as soon as he saw us pass by and missed the house, he jumped in his Jeep and he tore off after us. And he chased us all the way around the block. And we drove around the block. And when we come around the block and pulled out in front again, he whipped up in the driveway and he jumped out. And he hollered and he said, hey, guys, come on. I've been waiting for you. Come on up. And so we went on and we started walking up the driveway. And as we're walking up the driveway, he said, yeah, it's okay. It's me. It's me. And I'm thinking, what's he talking about? It's me. So as we get closer, then I realize he's... went out and got him a haircut and shaved his beard off. And he said, yeah, I decided if I'm going to be a child of God, I need to look like a child of God. Nobody said anything to him. He went and did all this himself. And Holy Spirit spoke to him. Amen. And he said, guess what? I said, what? He said, I got a job today. He got a job in the oil wells, working in oil wells, making good money. I went in to his wife and talked with his wife a little bit. I said, Laura, you said that you're saved. You claimed you're saved. She said, I know I'm saved. She said, I got saved when I was a little girl. And I said, she said, but I just feel like somehow, some way that there's a spot reserved in hell for me. And I said, Laura, if you've been saved, there's no spot reserved in hell. There was a ticket there, but that ticket was canceled when you trusted in Christ. If you really, truly born again. She shared a little bit of her life. She watched her dad kill her mom right in front of her eyes. Dad's in prison. Just druggies, both of them. Crackheads. She wrote me a letter about 2 months later in a card and sent it to me and said, Brother Martin, I just thought I'd let you know I got saved. And she said, you know what? When I went there, they had it all decorated up for Halloween. And she told me that Halloween was her favorite holiday. I thought, yeah, there's something wrong with that too, you know. And she put a P.S. at the card on the bottom. She said, P.S., Halloween is no longer my favorite holiday. But the reason I told you this little story is this. That happened about 11 years ago. They got involved in the church, got faithful to the church. He went through a Bible institute in the church. He got called to be an evangelist. He's in evangelism today, traveling and preaching and things. He wrote me a letter or a text the other day, a couple months ago. And he said, Brother Martin, he said, I was just thinking back about that day that I walked in the church and sat down. And he said, thinking about how the Lord convicted me and spoke to my heart. He said, you know, I thought I was saved. He said, but God just broke my heart that day. And he said, I really believe this. I believe that that was my last opportunity. I believe with all my heart, if I'd have walked out of there that day, God would have been done convicting me. What are you saying, Brother Martin? Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. If you doubt, if you've struggled with, if you're battling with this thing, it's better to get that thing settled. Amen. It's just really, truly being convicted in your heart and coming to that heart belief. I think of that old story of Zacchaeus. And over when Jesus went to see Zacchaeus. And he was walking, passing by that way, the scriptures tell us. And as Zacchaeus, man, he climbed up the tree because he wanted to see the Lord. I got that one right this time, right, honey? The other day I told this story and I said Nicodemus. I said, that's some messed up theology, amen? But anyway, Zacchaeus climbed up that tree because he wanted to see the Lord. And as the Lord passed by, it says, as the Lord passed by, he looked up and he said, Zacchaeus, make haste, come down, because I'm going to your house today. And he went there to his house, the story tells us. And he says, man, anything I've taken from anybody, I'm going to give back fourfold, and I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do that. And he said, this day is salvation, come to this house. Now, that'll mess a lot of our theology up, too. What do you mean? There's no special prayer that he prayed there. Amen. There's no special thing that he did there. He just, in his heart, fell under conviction and realized who he was. He realized what he needed, and he trusted him. That's what salvation is really all about. I don't care if you prayed a prayer sometime in your life. That doesn't save you. It is a heart conviction and a trusting in him. That's what this passage is all about. When Jesus passed by, someone's going to get saved. Amen. And the last thought is, and I'm done, is that even though some people get saved, some people don't. Because if you follow the rest of the story here, those group of Pharisees and all those chief priests and all, they didn't believe him. They didn't trust him. They weren't going to get saved. What a shame. What a shame when the Son of God, God in flesh, comes and passes by, speaks to people, and people have an opportunity to trust him or to reject him, and they walk away. What a sad thing. I just wonder where you're at today in your life. I wonder what the Lord has done in your life. I wonder if he is passing by your way today. Maybe he's passing by your way to bring some conviction to you. That's what he was bringing to them right here, these chief priests and the Pharisees. He was bringing conviction their way about who he really was. Maybe the Lord's convicting you about some things that are wrong in your life. He's passing by. Maybe he's passing by and he's saying, would you just turn to me? I can help you with what's going on in your life if you just turn to me. Maybe he's saying to you today, he's passing by and saying, you need some healing, and I know that. Why don't you just trust me? Why don't you just reach out and touch him today? Man, he wants to do a work in your life and mine. Maybe he's just trying to teach us something, but we're not taking the time to let him. I thank God that one day, over 2,000 years ago, there was a little baby born in a manger and came for one purpose, so that he could grow up, so that he could pass by and make a difference in people's lives. That's what he's done for you and I, and it's what he's still trying to do. Where are you at today? Father, thank you for the privilege to be able to be here today, and Lord, to be able to speak to you, these dear people. And Father, I thank you for this passage of Scripture. I thank you for the story of the blind man that was made whole, gained his sight back again. And Lord, you did a mighty work in his life because you were trying to draw him to you. And Lord, you've done that in every one of our lives too. Those that claim to be saved here, we're only saved because Jesus passed by our way one day. Thank you for doing that, Lord. Thank you for saving us. Thank you for all that you try to do in our lives. Forgive us for where we fail to see you and where we fail to trust you and fail to turn to you. Lord, would you please just speak to hearts this morning. With heads bowed and eyes closed, I just ask you, if you're here today and you say, Brother Martin, I needed that message today. God spoke to my heart about some area. I'm not going to go through all the points, but some area God spoke to my life. Would you pray with me? You'd slip a hand up and say, that's me, Brother Martin. Pray for me. I see those hands across the crowd. I appreciate that. I appreciate your honesty. I'll be praying for you. And let me ask this question, the most important question. Yeah, I know you've been in church all your life, but are you really truly saved? Are you really truly born again? Do you know for sure that your sins are forgiven? You're on your way to heaven. If you'd say, Brother Martin, I'm not sure about that. This is something that I've struggled with. Man, just be honest with the Lord today. You can't get help until you're honest. I really don't have this thing down, but I want to know, would you pray for me? You'd slip a hand up. That's me, Brother Martin. Pray for me. I've struggled with this thing. I just want to get this settled. I want to know that I know. Pray for me, Brother Martin. Anybody at all. Let's stand to our feet with heads bowed and eyes closed. The Lord spoke to your heart. The musician's going to play. Why don't you come? Why don't you come? And whatever it is that the Lord's spoken to your heart about, deal with him. Deal with him. Don't stay in your seat. I mean, he wants to do something. He wants to help you. He's passing by your way. What are you going to do about it? Father, I pray that you'd bless this altar time. I pray that you'd accomplish what only you can. I thank you for speaking to the hearts and the hands that were raised across the crowd. I pray for every one of them individually, Lord, that you would help them. And whatever it is that's going on in their life, Lord, whatever it is that they need in their life, I pray that they would see their need fulfilled in you and you working in their life. Lord, help us to just get back to trusting you. Thank you for being the wonderful Father that you are, the wonderful Savior. And we just give you all the honor and the glory in Jesus' name. Musician, please. God spoke to your heart. Why don't you come? What did he speak to you about? What was it that he challenged you in your heart about? Hands were raised across the crowd. When Jesus passed by, man, business was going to pick up when Jesus passed by. People got saved. People got healed. People got help. People learned things. That's what he's looking to do today still. Still looking to do some things.